Welcome to this very special edition of Behind the Podcast. This is Richard Greaser. Joining me today is Tatum Turnup and Rod Palmer. Tatum Turnup is quite the individual. You may know him, or you should know him, as this very autistic guy who wears a bulletproof vest and interviews the biggest names of Bitcoin. He is famous for having been the guy that scared Jack Dorsey away from doing Bitcoin podcasts. Dorsey's done a few podcasts since, but he has not really been on the PodConf Bitcoin podcast tour. You can thank Tatum Turnup for that, for scaring him away. How you doing tonight, Tatum? What's going on?
I'm good. Just getting ready for Vegas and learning now that I'm the reason that Jack has not made his podcast tour, so I wanted to publicly apologize about that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Dorsey, if you know a lot about him, he's an autistic guy as well. And the thing about autists, when it comes to podcasting, is you can't have two autists talking to each other. Because it's too much.
One of them has to be smart, one of them has to be cool. And I think that we broke that because neither of us, I think he kind of hogged a half smart, half cool, and I just had none. And I think we just kind of broke the system altogether.
Cool. I do. Yeah. One question about that, and I think a lot of people are wondering this. Before the Jack Dorsey interview, you were, your hardworking Bitcoiner and Pleb, but you weren't the type of person somebody would think is going to land one of the very exclusive Jack Dorsey interviews. But you were also a guy who knows how to make a good first impression. And I think maybe that, can you just explain how you got the Jack Dorsey interview that you didn't deserve?
Yeah, absolutely. So on Noster, I DM'd him and said, hey, if I come to Costa Rica, can we do an interview? And he responded simply, yes. And that's how I got the interview.
So being an early, so we talk about the revolution will not have good UX. And this is before Primal app, right? Like this is when
If you think Noster sucks now.
Yeah, and you reached out. He said, "I'm gonna ask Jack Dorsey to be on my Bitcoin podcast," and it worked. So it's it's actually a pretty good story. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, you can just do things for real. Sometimes they'll respond to you. Sometimes they won't. That's also how I got my first guest, Anthony Pompliano. I just asked him on my birthday publicly on Twitter. At A. Pompliano, do you have something to say to me? And he DM'd me and said, what are you talking about? For some reason, I don't know why he chose to DM me to ask me about that. And I was like,
were you wearing a bulletproof vest when you did this?
I don't even know at the time. I don't think I was. I think that was pre-me getting this stupid-ass vest. I told him, hey, it's my birthday. And he responded, happy birthday. And I was like, cool, thanks. By the way, I sent you a media inquiry, and he's like, okay, come to Miami. And so I did. And then Corey Clipston responded to my DM asking to be the first guest as well. And I told him that there was already a first guest, and he promptly blocked me until Pacific Bitcoin 2022.
Sounds like Corey to me. Actually,
I want to go ahead and put it out there for in case this lands on some certain ears. I love Corey. It was a big misunderstanding, but yeah.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, we all love Corey.
Yeah, until he's on my show, and then I'll start shitting on him.
If you're a Bitcoin podcaster, you don't want to burn bridges with Corey because he might hire you someday.
Yeah, I've had to actually decline a few offers from them. They're like, damn, dude, this show fucks.
They weren't willing to pay you enough.
Yeah.
No, you were wearing a bulletproof vest in your interview with Pomp, actually.
Yeah. I was when I started filming. I don't remember when that actually entered the scene, though, actually. I remember why I got it. I was watching like a music video or something. Something where a guy was wearing a bulletproof vest in a scenario where he definitely did not need it. And I was like, damn, he looks cool as hell. So I went and bought one. And then I got it. And I was like, I don't know when the hell I'm going to use this. And then I got on a call after a work meeting. So I had a button down and tie on. I was like, oh, this would be silly if I put my bulletproof vest over this. And someone got a screenshot. And unfortunately, I'm married to that personality now.
So are you familiar with the comedian? What's his name? He's Shane Gillis. Are you familiar with Shane Gillis?
Yes, yes.
You know, Shane Gillis, he's got a joke, or he talks about the way he looks and just carries himself. He might get confused for being Down syndrome. Do you think that some of these people saw you walking around Bitcoin conferences dressed like this with your bulletproof vest and think that, this guy's retarded and he's still fucking a Bitcoiner? Is it, he's going to start a Bitcoin podcast? Like, good for him. I want to go on this guy's Bitcoin. I want to be his first guest. I want to welcome him to the space. Do you think that maybe that there's just a slight chance that that played a part of it?
Yeah, and honestly, when you put it that way, I think that kind of also explains the slowdown. I haven't recorded in a very long time, and I think that it was because people started realizing that I am just, a regular pleb, not a make-a-wish kid or anything.
You're like not the kind of retarded they thought.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I think that they've just kind of stopped.
They couldn't just go on your show and chill.
Yeah.
You would actually ask them, a really dense question that would fluster them,
Yeah. And, I can't really get out of this hole anymore. I've dug it so deep and there's no ladder around. So we'll see what happens. Maybe some magic happens when I'm in Vegas and, season two gets filmed and keeps going. So,
yeah, that's a good point. How many years ago was it was like 3 years ago now, the bulletproof vest thing. And how can you go on a podcast without getting asked about it? You're the bulletproof vest guy.
No. It's part of me now.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
There's worse things to be, right? Like, it's worse that it's like Hoddle Magoo, who's the Gareth Holloway. They got one thing and it's embarrassing, but you're just like you said, you saw it one day and you're like, that dude looks badass. Worst case scenario, you're the badass bulletproof vest guy.
Yeah, then I put it on and looked in the mirror. I was like, I don't look near as cool as that guy who was rapping. One day.
Yeah, I have that problem too. I always think I'm going to look as hot as the model. But usually it's like DMX or a basketball player. And I don't look like that,
Yeah.
I'm a cigarette smoker.
So one of the things that I'm really impressed with, probably the most impressive interviewer or guest that you've had on your show is Dennis Porter.
Yeah, I had to pay 3 Bitcoin for that appearance, but
wow,
I think it turned out pretty good.
I'm glad you did, because you in doing so, you protected all of our rights. We're all still able to use Bitcoin today because of that donation to Dennis. How did you keep it together in the interview? Like, if I was interviewing Dennis, I'd be so intimidated. So, like, you had, like, the camera shot included your legs. How'd you not get a boner during the interview and have that ruined?
Anti-boner underwear. I have to wear them in all of my interviews, actually. It's like a hard covering. It's actually pretty painful, but you got to do what you got to do for the content. So
why do you should be selling these? If people are going to the Bitcoin conference in Vegas and they're there at any moment, they could run into Dennis Porter or see him, a video of him, and they don't want to just get a boner. Like, if everybody had these boner underwear, I think you're holding out on us, man.
Yeah, honestly, I've been looking at some redesign, but I think that, you know, don't fix what ain't broken. So I might bring some to Vegas. So if you're listening to this and want a pair of anti-boner underwear, come find me and I'll hook you up.
I'm going to hit you up as soon as I hit Vegas, because one of the things I'm really afraid of is I'm going to run into Dennis at the conference. It's going to be a very awkward situation.
Yeah, don't worry. These prevent those awkward situations. Also, I'm working on a line that gives a fake bulge in different sizes. So those are coming soon. Just follow me on Twitter for updates on that.
Do those work? I mean, no. Do you get girlfriends with those?
No.
Are you single right now? Are you looking for a girlfriend, a Bitcoin girlfriend, an orange pill girlfriend?
Yeah, if you are a woman and understand Bitcoin, please hit me up. Preferably, you know, if we're going to get into specifics, single moms, redheads. That's really, you know, single redhead moms would be a great marriage of those two. So just hit me up if you match either or both or none of those qualifications, honestly.
Let's hear a pitch. So what's your pitch on why a woman should be your girlfriend?
I can match you on an emotional level. I'm super dramatic. I'm going to cry a lot, even over small, inconveniences. I don't bring much to the table. I'm going to be real. I can lift but, heavy rocks and put heavy rocks back down.
Let me help you out here. Cause I think you're explaining way more than you have to. I think he needs to lean on you. Have the thing that most women are looking for is you're tall.
Oh yeah. I forgot. I dude, also baby you gotta blue start eyes. With that. I am 6'4". Baby blue eyes, and you know what? The big one that and I you completely can, you're missed. There's one that I missed. Forklift certified.
There's another one you missed. Probably the most important one that you missed.
It's not forklift certified?
You're a Bitcoin podcaster.
Oh, yeah. I see, sometimes that's a divisive thing to women.
You don't know your strengths is the problem.
So I need to learn how to leverage it, I think. And, you know, honestly, I've been kind of apprehensive as of the launch of the show to call it a podcast, as you can see in episode 3 with BTC Sessions. But ever since I started listening to the Bugle, I've realized I am the 1%. And so I am a Bitcoin podcast.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You should be proud to be a Bitcoin podcaster. And you know what? You just look at your catalog. You've already described you had Jack Dorsey, you had BTC Sessions, Dennis Porter. Who can you name the other big guests you had?
I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy, Anthony Pompliano, Peter McCormick, Joe Biden, a few other ones too. Stephen Lupka, okay. Preston Pish, okay. Lynn Alden. Hot.
Oh. Most podcasters have to record 50, 100, maybe a couple of hundred episodes before they get to interview all the people that you just mentioned. And 99.9% of Bitcoin podcasters will never interview all of the people that you've already interviewed. So, I think you needed this motivation, because after that run, it's got to be kind of a letdown. You're going to have to start going down the roster. You're going to have to start talking to people like, you know, Ben Justman, who's a great podcast guest, but he's not on Mount Rushmore. He's not Lynn Alden. And it can be hard to, you know, Adam Cimeca. I mean, the Steak and Shake thing was crazy, but it's like, it's not Jack Dorsey. It's not Paul. You need that motivation. You need to do it for the love of the game. And I think if you really start to understand the value of being a Bitcoin podcaster, it will actually bring you, like, you know, to interview, you know, a fellow pleb. And also, you know, you've got so many thumbnails that you can work with now to launch that YouTube again. You are a star in the making. You just, you struggle from a beginner success. You just succeeded too hard.
Yeah. And people sometimes ask, Tatum, where'd the pod go? When are you going to start it up? I am starting it back up, but you got to understand something. I'm kind of fucking retarded and don't know what's going on. Yeah, that's it. I don't know how to run a production company. It's me and some guy from Idaho named Carl.
You are not, you don't have anybody, a trusted companion or anybody to help you through the user experience. You got to get through the user experience yourself. You got to this point by being early on Noster and DMing Jack Dorsey. If you could do that, you could figure out how to record yourself and put yourself on Fountain. I mean,
I do have two, I think two or three episodes of Between Two Nodes, which was a spinoff on Fountain. And then that just ended up, I just hated recording that. It was more serious and just ended up sucking.
What do you think the difference was? What was the difference between two ASICs, between two nodes? And you go, you switch from ASICs to nodes, and it gets, why? It gets too serious? It's too personal? It's too peer-to-peer?
One of them was core, one of them was nuts, and none of them were economic. So, it was more long-form, more serious, and it was fun, but it just was a pain in the ass to film for like 2 hours and then edit that. And also it was virtual. So it felt weird, like, to get done talking and then close my laptop and I'm just in my room. It's like, oh man, now I'm depressed again. So that's why I do enjoy doing Between Two ASICs and season two, AKA the Tatum Turnip Show. Cause it's going to be all in person, because that's just kind of how a lot of the jokes go. They don't land if they're over, a video call or something like that.
Who's your white whale?
My white whale?
Yeah.
Like,
who would you want to interview? Sailor?
No, honestly, I actually have Sailor locked down, but, I don't even know if I want to film with him anymore. I don't know why. It's a weird feeling, but I would say probably, damn,
there's a billion people out there. Oh, TJ Miller.
TJ Miller. Or Zach Galifianakis, just because, to bring the everything full circle. But I'm scared to get a C&D if I do interview Zach Galifianakis. So I'll go with TJ Miller.
What is it about TJ that does it for you? Is a guy with goofy curly hair that's been really successful? He's inspiring to you?
6'4", blue eyes.
He could play me in a biopic. Or I could play him in a biopic one way or the other.
I just want to roll back a little bit, because I just want to make sure everybody understands what we're dealing with here. Because there's so many people out there who they put so many hours into their podcasts, their Bitcoin podcasts, recording, finding guests, doing the editing, doing the clips, promoting. And they reach out to these people in their DMs and they say, do you want to come on my Bitcoin podcast? And nobody replies. And here you are. You got Sailor locked down, according to you, but you're not even sure if you want to do it. You've already interviewed Lynn Alden, Pop, you know, the guy who was going to be in Doge with Elon, Vivek Ramaswamy, Stephen Wubka, BTC Sessions, Jack Dorsey. I mean, It's like the all-star lineup. Just, it's so easy for you to get these interviews. And all you got to do is just hire one person or just like do the recording. You could be a star. And I think a lot of people are jealous of you. And I think that there needs to be a show about your life. It'd be like Entourage. You just have to get a girlfriend, a Bitcoin girlfriend, and it completes the whole thing.
That seems to be the biggest obstacle, though. That and also making money from doing this, too. I don't know how people are making money, but all the sponsorships that I have, they're just referral codes, no kickbacks. as exclusively listed. They tried offering me a kickback. Blockstream did. I told them, nah, it's for the love of the game. But now no one else is offering me compensation. So I'm like, shit. But yeah, I need a girlfriend. I think that's the missing key factor. I need some arm candy at the conferences.
They say behind every good Bitcoin podcast is, you know, a good girlfriend or a wife. And you need that woman behind you because you're just worried about too many things. You should be worried about doing what you do best, which is being a Bitcoin podcaster. And you need a woman to take care of your life because it's like, I don't have time to deal with my job and shoveling snow or doing the dishes or figuring out if my bed going to be cleaned. I don't know. My girlfriend does that. I need to focus on the signal. I need to be listening to 40 hours, recording 40 hours, discussing game theory and incentives, discussing these things. Bitcoin has already won. The people around me don't understand that. I have to study it so I can guide them through it. And that is what you are meant to be. And that's what you are meant to do. It's very obvious. You just have to have a girlfriend. So the world needs you and a girlfriend to set you free.
Behind every great Bitcoin podcaster is a Bitcoin girlfriend.
Quoted. Do you have any, like, I mean, who knows who your girlfriend's going to be, but if you could pick from the different Bitcoin podcasters, the girls, you know, the influencers in the space, Isabella, she's pretty hot. She might be your age. But like, who would you pick? Like, who would you like to meet in Vegas and have kiss by the big orange, like the big orange dome where it's Bitcoin. Bitcoin has already won. It's just shining bright for the city. That's your first kiss. Or underneath the Eiffel Tower. It's possible.
Let's look back at the last time we hit an all-time high when I said, if we hit an all-time high, I'm shooting my shot. I quote tweeted it with a face-apped picture of me and said, hey, at Aubrey Strobel. That was it. And that tweet blew up.
Bold. Loved it. Maybe you set your sights a little too high.
Yeah. Hey.
If she's into somebody like Nick... If she's into somebody like Nick Carter, she's not going to be into you. Nick Carter is obsessed with stable coins, U.S. Treasury rates, the Federal Reserve, what their policy means. You don't understand any of that. You understand the real money. You understand Bitcoin. And I think Aubrey Strobel is not. She's in the stable coin guys. They're a little too volatile for her.
Look, I can hop on the Tether train, all right? Look, I've buried my hatchet with Tether, all right? I can latch on.
Everybody else should. Everybody else should because they're going to take the Tether money eventually.
Exactly.
You would take it, and it is having offered.
Exactly. Tether, sponsor me.
The future will be priced in USDT.
They're paying Joe Nakamoto, and they're not paying Tatum. I think that's bullshit, honestly.
That's crazy. I've had him on my show. I think by proxy, I should have a share of all of the sponsorships for guests that I've had on my show. So BTC sessions.
I think Tether,
like,
was just sending people on your show for free, and instead of paying you to have them on. Yeah. Damn. No, what were you saying? What was your theory?
I just think that like BTC sessions. If I got a portion of his sponsorships because he was on my podcast, then I'd be set. You know. And then, of course, I have him.
Could you give people hardware wallet tutorials? Could you actually help people use a Sparrow wallet or connect to Electrum? Is that where your strength is?
No, absolutely not. But the incentives are there. It's all about incentives at the end of the day.
Dude, how many cold cards are you selling for right now?
I actually got gypped from Ben's birthday party. I left my cold card at Pub Key. So Ben, could you send me a queue again?
Who amongst us have left their cold card at Pub Key?
Right.
Some people leave their credit card at the bar. Bitcoiners leave their cold cards at Pub Key. I meant by the hour it was. Don't you also sell jades and bit boxes and all those?
Oh yeah. Oh shit. Yeah. I actually, this podcast appearance is brought to you by Blockstream Jade. Blockstream is the open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin and Bitcoin layer 2 assets such as Taproot and Liquid. Use code Tatum Turnup for 10% off the Blockstream store. Sorry, guys. I had to do that. I know it came out of nowhere.
You couldn't eat, and you can't even get
to have their to give you liquid. Selling their product. They're not doing too hot on it. So I'm sure they appreciate it.
Look, I love my Blockstream boys. Blockstream
is like if Apple only had a Steve Wozniak, like didn't have the the Steve Jobs. It's like they got a good product, they've got good technology, they've got all that stuff solid. They just don't have anybody to market for them.
They just don't have anyone doing LSD that's in a C-level position. And that's what they need, I think.
They don't have anybody listening to 40 hours a week of Bitcoin podcasts. No. If they did, I think they would have a much better marketing strategy, better commercials, better podcasts.
Do you think that, I'm kind of switching up here, just a question for y'all. Do you think that Adam Back is exempt from the 40 hour per week rule?
Or should he still doesn't be trying, have to.
Yeah, should he still I be think trying he to should get 40?
I think he should be banned from most Bitcoin podcasts, personally.
Interesting.
And the reason why is he's like melatonin or something, or what's that one that people take?
Yeah, it's like you to sleep. It's just biotin? It's like counting sheep.
Okay, yeah.
What's that one that everybody takes? And is Ambien? Is that what it's called?
Ambien, yeah. Ambien. Melatonin.
Yeah.
For some people, it's, six beers. It puts you to sleep. And Dr. Adam Back, we respect the hell out of you. You are the father of proof of work. But you have done your job. You don't have to go on podcasts. Just post bullish trading advice on Twitter once in a while.
No, nobody's exempted for 40 HPW. If Satoshi was around, or if he's around, or he is around, Peter Todd needs to be listening to 40 HPW too. If you're cited in the white paper, if you created the white paper, you can't rest on your credentials.
I'm going to say he doesn't have to go on Bitcoin podcasts and put people to sleep.
Yeah.
He has to listen.
What if we flipped it and we made a playlist of Bitcoin podcasts to fall asleep to? And it's the boring ones. But of course, they're ones that we've already fully watched and made sure that
there you go. If you're going to get some good information, it's just impossible to care about it. It's boring, but it's capturing that stranded energy or that stranded attention time that you have when you're asleep. That's a good idea.
Also, the another thing too, Lo-fi is that
Bitcoin
you can
podcast to study too.
Exactly. And you can also say without, feeling kind of scummy, yeah, I got my 40 HPW. I even went over because you did. You had, 24 hours of podcast replaying on the TV while you work.
I wouldn't frame it as a way to cheat yourself of 40 hours of high quality Bitcoin podcast per week, but I would frame it as a way to make sure people who are in comas are able to absorb Bitcoin podcasts at a rate that they can actually can heal their brain.
I actually do use
work.
I
mean, we could try that. Yeah. We could try that.
Yeah, I just don't pay attention when I do listen to podcasts, so I just kind of fudge my numbers a little bit. I listen enough to say, "Oh, I heard someone on a podcast say something about that," and not be lying.
You do like the Cliff Notes.
Yeah. I'm the ChatGPT of Bitcoin podcast.
That sounds valuable.
There might be a market for it.
So, Tatum, how do you feel about your performance in Maxi Madness this past year?
Oh, man. Second year in a row that I've been knocked out immediately. Really, really upsetting. But I think that I'm going to learn from...
How would you dance again?
Yellow this time around, which was...
That's tough.
Wait. No. I was Mandrake this... Yellow last year. Mandrake. And Mandrake honed into the reverse psychology, and that's how he beat me. He just kept.
Do you think that's
explicitly?
How?
He explicitly told people, "Do not vote for me. Vote for Tatum." It was a landslide.
He was following Matt Odell's advice. He was staying humble, and exactly. Women, not just women voters, like somebody who stays humble. They want the votes up for somebody in Maxi Madness who stays humble.
Yeah. And, you know, the old saying goes, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shit. Yeah. And
do you think it's because he's hotter than you?
Oh, shit.
Or do you think that Mandrake is hotter than you? Do you think that people, other people might think that Mandrake is hotter?
I think that might
be. You got to play that into it.
Also, I think that people see him. There's like an aura that OGs like just shine.
Oh, he's got big OG energy. Yeah.
He's got the craziest OG aura. And that will trump everything. He could be the shortest, ugliest, fattest guy on the planet. But if he's still the Mandrake that was selling baklava back in 2011, right. Dude, he is sought after.
Like, look at Luke Dash. If you saw him in person and you didn't know who he was, you're like, who is this little autistic little rapscallion? I'm staying away from him. He smells like, you know, those little Vienna sausages in a tin can, and he's well, I got bad breath. But if you know who he is, totally different scenario.
Absolutely.
He's the fuck, that's the segue guy. This is the guy who was inscribing Bible verses on Bitcoin just to bully around the other mining pools and like to say that he could. And it totally changes. A Blue Dash could get somebody like Aubrey Strobel.
I think so. But I was not around early enough, I don't think.
Would you want to interview Luke on your show?
Yeah, what do you think you and Luke Dash would talk about if you had a chance to interview him?
Well,
how would you connect with him?
Well, so I met him in Vegas at Unconfiscatable, and the only reason I met him was I looked up and he was just staring at me across the room, and I looked back
at my
phone.
That was probably powerful. Powerful. Did you look up and be stared at by Luke Dash Jr.? And you're thinking, does he think I think the Pope is legitimate? Holy shit, what the fuck?
And then I was like, hey. And he was like, why are you wearing that? And I was like, And then I ran away. I was just
talking about the vest.
Yeah, it was the vest.
Luke was not Luke Warner, but you, of all people, probably wearing a gas mask in his like his winter boots in Miami or Vegas, you know, just came back from tweeting, yes, I would eat a cap if somebody offered it to me. And then he looks at you and he sees you in a bulletproof vest at a Bitcoin conference. And he says, why are you wearing that? And you're like, dude, this dude just big
shuts dick me down.
The shit out of me.
That's so demoralizing.
He's short too. No.
Dude's wearing sweatpants. He's probably wearing sweatpants.
I think he was actually. And a black jacket.
They probably had tallow stains on him.
He's got his shirt tucked in. He's wearing sweatpants. And he's commenting on your fashion attire. What a power move.
So and you're the one that felt insecure, not him.
Tallow stains took me out.
Kit Sat's tallow is streaming down. Luke Dash is fucking, you know, Costco sweatpants. He's and his hair is probably greasier than Kit Sat's eyeball.
Breaking Kit Sat starts a new business called Luke's hair.
You have freshly pressed macro khakis, a collared shirt, some nice Doc Martens, and you're simply wearing a bulletproof vest. I probably didn't even have plates in it.
Nope.
Right? And Luke Dash has the audacity to pick you out of everybody that could be that he could talk to stare you down and embarrass you. Was there a hot girl around?
No, was it was just influencer? Us two. It was just us two, which made it so much worse, I think, honestly.
It was just for him.
Yeah. You could tell like he wasn't doing that for an audience. He was doing that for the love of the game.
That's why. That's terrifying. That's a smooth operator. That's a tier one operator. And people think that he needs mechanic to be his influencer. He is the one. Maybe he's the one that's manipulating, pulling the strings and mechanics. That's just my theory.
I think you're right, actually. Why do you think that Luke comes on all these spaces and podcasts when, you know, all he's going to do is very quickly say like five words, not make a point. Like no one wants to hear that.
And nobody can interrogate him about Bitcoin.
But
nobody
can
tease him.
He's the BIP guy. Come on. You have to let him talk.
Right. And think about any core dev or anybody who's just really that close to the protocol or anybody else that could be interviewed by Natalie Brunell and not be the slightest bit nervous. It would be Luke.
Yeah.
Call him the Iceman. If you could back to that moment and just drop him with a one-liner, you're preparing, you know, for years, just coming up with a one-liner to go at him to just make him speechless. What do you think he would say?
Well, I typically do have a one-liner, and I just lost it in the aura of Luke. But I'd usually just say "just in case," and that usually just shuts everyone up.
Anyway, your one-liner to drop Luke, like, is what, just in case? Is that what you said?
Well, if he were to ask me, what is that? If anyone asked me why I'm wearing the vest, I always say just in case. But
if
I had to approach him, though, damn, I don't even know how I would approach him.
I mean, I think the only thing to do in that scenario is either to say no, you, or liar.
Liar.
I think you deserve another shot at a first impression with Luke Dash. I think that he should have to come. I mean, he should have to, next time he sees you, should have to ask you in front of everybody, and you should be able to drop that.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to publicly call out Luke and say, hey, in Vegas, come find me, and I'll tell you why I'm wearing this.
Unfortunately, he's not going to Vegas.
Oh, shit. That ruins everything now.
There's a lot of people not going to Vegas. Shinobi won't be there. Nobody's going to get called retarded at the conference.
The people who need to be called retarded the most right now are the people who will not be there. So think about that for a moment. Think about that. Shinobi, the core devs, their, you know, spokesperson. And then you got Luke. The two biggest, the people who have stirred up the most drama and wasted the most amount of people's time, we should just be held accountable for what they're doing. And they're not coming. That should tell you all you need to know.
We have the chance to deserve be the most influencers. Retarded in Vegas. We could be the retards.
We're going to have a free pass to do whatever we want.
No devs, no rules.
Just Bitcoin podcasters.
Just podcasters. When are we having the first Bitcoin podcaster exclusive? Like filtering every single guest, making sure that no devs or no businesses, just podcasters come on. When is that happening?
Plebs.
No plebs. Yeah.
No plebs.
You have to have a routine to a degree. It doesn't have to be daily, weekly, anything like that, but to a degree, a routine piece of media that you talk on an intro for to be able to go to this conference.
Yeah, like Rustin on Simply Bitcoin. He's not like the host of Simply Bitcoin, but, you know, he's got that recurring. He is putting out content. He's bringing out good content. Yeah, that's a bone I have to pick with the plebs. They get a little rowdy and a little demanding, a little entitled.
They like to mooch.
They get to mooch all this content.
And we built this.
They don't give anything back.
No. They just want to come get free.
It's easy to tear down a Bitcoin podcast. But where's your Bitcoin? Can you do a better Bitcoin podcast? I doubt it.
Anyone can be a podcaster, we'll do it. Go ahead. No one's stopping you.
Yeah, all these people in the peanut gallery, like Pletter is a good example of this. Pletter's a perfect He's a perfect example of the guy who refuses to be the man in the arena. He's the man on the sidelines. He's the guy that showed up to gym class in high school, wearing jeans, refusing to put on his gym shorts and critiquing everybody's basketball skills from the bleachers.
Yeah, that's the exact vibe that he gives off, actually.
Like, what qualifies you to have an opinion? You don't have podcast.
Why does Predator have such a, like, relatively speaking, big following?
Because there's a lot of people in Bitcoin that are that person, too. They're the guy that sat on the bleachers in the gym shorts during gym class in high school.
Yeah, I guess we need representation.
Yeah, I mean, Pledger has probably DM'd Aubrey Strobe every hot girl and told them that he had, like, inside information on somebody who was scamming or some Bitcoin podcaster who he finds out that they used to own Ethereum or that, you know, something like that. And they just block him or ignore him. And he's like, all the shitcoiners get the girls. The pure maxi always finishes last. So he's just crying out for the Bitcoin only guy who just only uses peer to peer, only uses Linux, does everything right. He still can't get a girlfriend. And you just don't want to be the guy who is keeping track of how much more, you know, sovereign he is at using Bitcoin than his girlfriend. Like, his girlfriend, like, the girl doesn't want to constantly be made to feel stupid because she doesn't understand Bitcoin as good as you. And that's what Pledger tries to do, even to the girls that he meets on, you know, Tinder.
Yeah. I mean, you got to filter the noise from the signal.
We all buy paper Bitcoin sometimes. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And also, if I leave it on an exchange, that's insured. If it's in cold storage, it's not.
It doesn't make me a bad person. It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't mean that you can judge me, Predator.
Exactly.
Well, he can judge all he wants. He just doesn't have a valid opinion. And yeah, I think we should hold the people accountable that like his tweets. We need to figure out who's liking his tweets, and we need to hold them accountable in the same way that he holds the shitcoiners accountable.
Yeah, but we shouldn't make likes public again, though, in case that was an option on the table for not for me, but for some other people.
Are you more generous with the thirst traps and posts of hot girls that you like now that nobody else can see it?
No, what? No.
No?
That's so why? I didn't even know that you couldn't see it anymore. Why? That's creepy.
Right, right. I don't know.
Shit. Anyway.
You evaded the question last time about which hot Bitcoin influencer chick would you pick to be your girlfriend if, like, you know, if it was like The Bachelor, it was you want to win your heart.
Oh, we should have The Bachelor.
You would be perfect. You could be the perfect first Bachelor. Like Bitcoin like Orange Bill, Bitcoin Twitter Bachelor, yeah.
And then at the end of the episode, everyone's going to determine that we're.
You can give a pupusa. You give a pupusa to the girl that you want to keep, or you just like you fill out. Everybody scans the Lightning wallet. And the person who doesn't get the Sats that needs to have been voted off. But you could do that, and you can add the you could win. When he's with Max Kaiser lives on Bitcoin Beach still. So you would go hang out at Max Kaiser's villa.
He unfollowed me. I don't know why.
You offended him?
I don't think so. I've typically been a Max shill.
You do everything right.
Max called me a scammer one time.
Yeah. My mom also thinks that Stacy hates me because of our episode. It still could be possible.
Also interviewed Stacy?
Yeah, I had Max and Stacy on.
Oh, of course. I don't know how we missed those with the other, what I thought was probably pretty close to exhaustive list.
I forgot about so them too.
do you know many people who their mom thinks or just has any opinion on whether Max and Stacy hate them or not? Like, my mom would, if I told, you know, my mom doesn't know who they are, how many people did you think, oh, my son and Max Kaiser are beefing right now on Bitcoin podcast?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty unique situation for me. But my mom watches all of my episodes, so I have to keep it clean. But I guarantee you she's not going to fucking watch this episode. But she did watch the one with Max and Stacy, and she said that Stacy was very rude. I thought Stacy was lovely. I think that's just
your mom thought Stacy was rude to you. You just don't think that your mom. Does your mom live in the South, Mississippi?
Yeah.
She's just a
Southern woman. Yeah, protecting her baby, everything. But I told her, course. I was like, "Hey, rest assured."
She doesn't want one of those orange little vixens talking to her sweet, handsome Tatum like that, right?
Exactly.
I get it. Who doesn't get it? Who doesn't get it?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Stacy actually hates us.
Probably, if we're being... How big is y'all's block list now that you know of?
Well, I there was only like four off the top of my head, but Matthew Crater led a campaign. Before he led the Let's Run Knots campaign, he led the Let's Block the Bugle campaign.
We're lucky
the Knots thing distracted him. Yeah, we're lucky the Nats thing distracted him, because we were in trouble.
I thought that whole thing was really unexpected, I guess. I thought that he would enjoy credentialed journalism a little more than he did.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems it's the vibe that he gives off, but undoubtedly, he doesn't like it. Has Breedlove blocked y'all?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. Breedlove blocked us a long time ago. Well, he definitely blocked me, and I've tried to tag him in things. I just don't remember which account, but had us unblocked, yeah.
Yeah, we're blocked by Breedlove.
Yeah.
He probably didn't like that Laren was getting into my DMs at one point.
Ooh.
We were hitting on her.
I wasn't hitting on her. She was the one that initiated the DM conversation.
Because you're a Bitcoin podcaster. Though. Full circle.
Of course.
What have we learned here today? Bitcoin podcaster.
I'm very alpha of this guy to be threatened by his wife being in my DMs and being insecure about it. That's a very beta move. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, Tatum, don't dox anybody, but like, what kind of people, kind of girls slide into your DMs? Because somebody's coasting around on YouTube with the algorithms is taking them all over the Bitcoin rabbit hole, and they're like, oh, who's this hot, tall Bitcoin podcaster who's interviewing all the people I've heard of? Who comes and slides into your DMs at that point?
Well, typically, they're usually Asian, and they usually want to sell me ASICs. And none of them have delivered on any of their promises, and I thought I got a pretty good deal. But aside from that, it's just a bunch of group chats, really, that I just ignore. Maybe you should open my DMs up. That might change things. You know what?
Is that the issue at Compass? It was that their employees were getting scammed by hot Asian girls in their DMs?
Refuse to comment. But yeah, I did turn my, that was actually why I turned my DMs off.
You turn your DMs off. You got burned by too many hot ASIC salesmen in your DMs. You know, I can't. It's like Mars, our buddy Mars. He cannot resist a hot fed. You know, somebody who's just in spaces to disrupt and you know, team member of the state, doesn't matter if she's hot. You were like hot Asian. I'm listening to your sales pitch.
I just got the message that Dick sent me. I don't know if that's on the table either, but I did just open source my DMs. So ladies, come at me.
I think
you're looking for your next ex-wife or your first ex-wife.
My future ex-wife.
I think we
need Corey Clipson wanted to be your first podcast guest. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Richard.
We need more clarification, Tatum, on what type of lady qualifies, like who you're looking for. You said redhead, single mom.
That's really the only two things. My list is not long. It's pretty, you know, just my type is women that like me back.
Yeah. Have you listened to True Heather's podcast yet?
No.
You know who True Heather is?
Maybe I do.
She's a smoking hot blonde up in Canada.
Oh, in that case, no. I'm thinking of a different one.
She's doing a podcast on Bitcoin dating.
You would be a perfect guest, yeah.
I need
Sly Goomba has been on there.
I might need to see how that plays out. That might be my secret end right there.
So before we wrap up the show, who do you think is going to get a girlfriend first this cycle? You or Sly Goomba?
Sly Goomba.
Why?
It's just how it usually plays out.
He's not Forklift certified, but he does have a Bitcoin podcast.
In that case, damn. Those are two very... Yeah. I don't know. That might be a good one. That might be a tight race.
My last question on this is, if you know, you're going to probably meet a lot of Bitcoin orange pill chicks. So it's like, you're not going to be the one that like gets them into Bitcoin. Could you date a girl that was orange pilled like Tomer?
Wait, like Tomer?
Yeah, just like if you had to go around, like my girlfriend was orange pilled by Tomer everywhere you went. Like, is that something you could deal with? It's like if your girlfriend was orange pilled by Dennis Porter or Sailor, be like, oh, cool, but Tomer.
Yeah, no, I would like to keep Tomer away from my girlfriend.
I think yeah. So you just keep Tomer away from your girlfriend altogether.
Yeah.
But
if he catches her before I have any say in it, you know. Sorry, honey. You got to sit there and just listen.
What if she was orange-billed by Stefan Lavera?
Oh, in that case, I'm just going to blow my brains out. Love you, Stefan.
Well, the way we end every episode is we read our fountain boost from the week prior. With our guest, but before we do that, I've got two questions for you, Tatum. Did you listen to our last episode of Behind the Podcast?
No.
It was a really good one. It was with Heavily Armed Clown. Okay. We talked a lot about communism and Nazism. The episode title was Clowns Against Nazis. It was pretty epic.
That's 2023. And he does a podcast with. Okay. That's a good, decent chunk of my 40 HPW. Yeah.
He podcasts with JW Weatherman. So they have some cool conversations.
Sweet. I'll have to check it out. I'm not going to.
The second question is, are you Jewish?
No. I have been asked that several times for some reason. I actually
probably all your guests. No.
In New York, I was just walking a pub key and this guy was like, "Hey, are you Jewish?" And I said yes and just kept walking. I don't know why I said yes, but
were you wearing your Bulldog vest at the time? I would hope so.
No, I wasn't. I was vulnerable.
Do you think that was unethical? Like that was a bit of stolen valor?
Maybe. It was kind of heat of the moment, but you know, if it's going to get the attention, maybe I am, you know? Maybe.
It's not like you were wearing the cap or like the...
Yeah, no.
It's not like you were in the uniform.
Yeah. Uniform,
I'd be kind of nervous going to Vegas now that the Jewish Bitcoiners are going to beat you up for stolen valor.
Well, shit. Yeah, you're right, actually. Sorry, Bitcoin Jews.
Yeah, just apologize. It's what I would do.
I would like to apologize to the Bitcoin Jewish community because I said that I was Jewish. Thank you. I will be stepping away for a few weeks. Was that good?
No. You should end it with, if any of you want me to come on your podcast to apologize, I'm willing to.
Yeah, I'm only apologizing if I get a guest appearance in return.
I'm willing to take this apology on an apology tour, so have me on your podcast and I'll apologize.
Yeah, well, start the negotiation off by you know, don't just give away everything.
Yeah,
look,
I don't respect that.
Vegas is where I start my apology tour, okay? And what does that mean fully? No one's going to know until it happens, all right? But put it on your calendars all next week.
Is it an apology tour, or is it a tour of things you're going to have to apologize for later?
Maybe it's that. Who knows? But probably that, if we're being completely honest. I had to go on an apology tour after the last Bitcoin conference in Vegas, so I'm expecting to do that again this week.
Great. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to hang out with you. We're going to be hanging out with you I'm going to be hanging out with you at Las Vegas.
Hell yeah. Debut set, 10 o'clock Wednesday. Super excited for that. Just got done with a practice sesh. It's going to be fun.
Is it really your debut? You've never DJed in front?
Not like at a party or a club. Like, I've DJed frat parties and I used to do sets on Zapstream, but never in like a club setting. So it's going to be a shit show.
What are some tracks that you're excited to play?
I got all the favorite white boy stuff, Dom Dalla, John Summit, you know,
Levels by Avicii.
Oh yeah. Levels by Avicii at least 10 times.
Hell yeah.
Rest in peace to a legend.
Did you make any remixes of it, or you're just going to go straight level?
I have some remixes that I've worked on myself, but for Levels, I'm only going to play the original mix, not even the extended, just the radio edit.
Yeah. Do you see yourself as like, you could be like the Diplo of Bitcoin podcasters?
You know, he was born in Mississippi. He just doesn't claim it because it's Mississippi.
So you've got a list, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, look, I might be the Diplo. I might be the Dom Dalla. I might be the Odd Mob. Shit, I might be the Tiesto of Bitcoin podcasters. We'll just have to see.
You have to play the Ibiza.
Ibiza.
Totally. Well, we only had one boost on the episode last week, which is, or we had some boosts, just not publicly. We had some people streaming us some sats. I can't see the amount, but 300 sats from BCC on board. Thumbs up, salute, lightning emoji.
Honestly, top tier emoji ad. Just want to put that out there. The salute. It's one of my most used.
I don't really know how to use emojis. I don't know if you can do it on a typewriter.
I think you have to get a special belt with the custom keys, but they're pretty expensive though.
I'll have to look into that. I'll have my wife look online, see if she can buy one.
Yeah.
Well, you got any closing remarks before we ramp this one up, Tatum?
Not really. Just follow me. I like attention. It'd be really great if you gave me some. And subscribe on YouTube.
And ladies, if you have a daughter that's an eligible bachelorette. Or
if you have a daughter and you are an eligible bachelorette, you know.
Yeah. Slide into Tatum's DMs.
They're open.
Do you prefer Noster or Twitter for that type of DM?
Twitter, the UX, like we talked about, is just abysmal.
But doesn't the bad UX of Noster kind of weed out the ones you don't want?
Sometimes it gets to the point where it's about to weed me out, so I stay in those DMs. So it gets tiring. I'm in the trenches.
What if Sarah Jade messages you or Ansley Costello?
I would block them and not know what to do.
What would you do if Jessica the Playboy Bitcoin chick. What if she wanted to come on your podcast and maybe hang out later? Would she hang out with her?
Oh, I forgot about her. I would just
an older,
I would not know yeah, what to yeah, say.
A middle-aged Playboy model. Would you date a middle-aged orange-billed Playboy model?
Absolutely, 100%.
Well, this is what I would say. My last thing before I end the stream is, you know, one of the best ways to start out a first date is to invite a woman on your Bitcoin podcast.
Absolutely. I think that's actually sometimes a good segue. It can lead into, like, maybe it's a good icebreaker where you're like, I don't want to talk to her, but I can ask her on a business, you know, business expense. Hey, you want to come on the podcast?
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, Tatum, really appreciate you coming on the podcast, and I hope you shave your mustache before Vegas, because that'll raise your odds.
Shit. I'm going to have to do this in Vegas, I think.
Bitcoin hour 11.
You're gonna have to shave your mustache on the Toonster stream.
I'm just going to be mixing, actively shaving my mustache, doing a transition. Just like...
And the one girl that runs on stage and starts taking all your mustache hairs and putting them in a scrapbook, she's the keeper.
Absolutely. Can't wait to find her.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to this edition of Behind the Podcast with Tatum Turnup, and we'll catch you on the next one.